somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast already in progress.
Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Please give me more volume here on the stage. The book is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. If you're able to, let me encourage you to stand in reference to the Word of God. You know, when we go into the courthouse and the bailiff will say, "All rise." And my attorney there will tell you, Brother Shane, that everybody must rise. If we will rise up for a man or woman in black robe, how much more the Creator of heaven and earth? The Bible said concerning the Israelites, every time the presence of God walk into the tent, guess what they all do? They rise. The book is Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same. I can stop there and shout all day. It's good to know that our God don't change. See, I listen to some of these politicians. Today they will say the sky is blue. Tomorrow they say the sky is green. Now I'm scratching my head and say, which one is which? But the Bible said concerning Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And will always be the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a very consistent God. I thank you, O God, that we can count on you, we can count on your word, because you never change. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for those who are gathered here today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to hear the word of God. I pray that you will enable us to comprehend what heaven is trying to say to us. Bless somebody today. Heal somebody today. Glorify yourself in the house. Now I'm going to step back that you may step up. This is your show. These are your people. And sure enough, this is your church. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, How to Take Possession of Your Healing. How to take possession of your healing. The passage I just read to your hearing basically said whatever Jesus had done before, he can do it again. Let me go on record to point out that we know from reading the scripture that Jesus Christ was a teacher. But we also know that Jesus Christ was a healer. Many people in this house can testify how God has healed their body. Now the Bible is saying he did it before, he can do it again. If I were in the courthouse today as a lawyer, I probably would begin to tell the jury, I said, let the record show there was a man whose hand was withered. And Jesus showed up and told him, stretch your hand. And this man didn't have a full hand before, but at the name of Jesus, his hand grew up. I will say, let the record show, there was a man that was crippled sitting in front of the church house. He was at the gate called Beautiful, begging for nickels and dimes. And there are many people here today who are still in that state. You may not be crippled physically, but sometimes our mind is crippled. And there are many of us who have become a beggar by nature. You ever seen people, they text you, can I have $10? And you ignore their text. Then they send you another one and another one. And even when you give them money, they're coming back tomorrow. Some are waiting on the government. Always begging. Begging, begging. Give me this, give me that. That's what that man was doing at the gate. But when Peter showed up, Peter said to him, hey, dude, silver and gold I don't have. But I do have something. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The Bible said all of a sudden, the man received his healing and began to walk. I'm suggesting to you that Jesus Christ is a healer. And because he healed before, he can do it again. One day he met 10 lepers. Am I still in the book? And he healed every one of them. Another day he was passing by. He ran into a blind man sitting by the side of the road. His name is blind Bartimaeus. And the brother was screaming, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." They tried to tell him to shut up. Have you found yourself trying to talk to God and some player haters trying to keep you quiet? But the Bible said the more they tried to hold him down, the louder he got. I think he must be from Africa. I'm just saying, you know. Because folks from Africa, when they want something from you, they're not polite. They will get louder. You can't stop them. And you remember that man got healed by Jesus Christ. Then there was the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she was sick for 12 years. But one day she met Jesus, and Jesus healed her. I'm suggesting to you and I'm reminding you that your God is a healer. And the Bible said what he did before, he can do it again. Ladies and gentlemen, the record shows there was a gentleman by the name Mr. Jairus. His daughter was sick at the point of death. Jesus went to his house and healed that young lady. If I have to sit there and just talk to you about the record, like a lawyer in the courtroom, you'll be here 24 hours, pointing out healing records, healing after healing after healing, so much that the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing, not some, all those who are oppressed by the devil. For the Lord was with him. So for the record, Jesus heals. And not only does he heal, the Bible says what he did back then, he can do today. That's a good place to shout. Then the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripe, we were healed. Not trying to be healed, we are already healed. Our choir in this church sings a song titled, "It's Already Done." That is a powerful revelation. In case you don't know, your healing is already done. So don't get used to being sick. In all of your getting, get understanding. Your healing, it's already done. Amen, somebody. So the question really, if my healing is already done, is your healing is already done, how do I take possession of it? That's my assignment today. God sent me to give you instruction, step-by-step instruction on how you can take possession of your healing. And I'm not talking theories. I have to do the same thing in my life. I know something about being sick. I stopped teaching theories many years ago. I cannot take you where I've never been. So when it comes to this subject of healing, I'm a living testimony that God can heal. So I'm about to walk you through what you must do to possess your healing. That means I'm suggesting to you up front, God has a role in your healing, but you also have a role to play. And I'm also suggesting to you, God has already done his part. So it's now your move. Because he's done his part, my assignment is to tell you your part, my part. And then I hope and pray that you will go home and put the word of God to test. Amen, somebody. So number one that you need to do, first you must locate the word of God that addresses your situation. Did you hear what the pastor said? Notice I'm not whooping. I'm not break dancing before you. No entertainment today. Try next Sunday. But today I'm here to give you step-by-step instruction that you can walk in victory concerning your healing. And the first step is locate the word of God that addresses your situation. Many of you will say, Brother Pastor, I don't know that much Bible. I'm not a preacher. I don't know where they are. Well, I'm glad you told me. Do you have Google?
Amen.
God bless Google and the republic for which we stand. You can go on your computer or your cell phone, your smartphone, and type in, what does the Bible say concerning my broken eyes, or whatever it is, my crooked leg, or whatever it is, pain in my shoulder? You'll be amazed. Google will give you all the scripture. So you and me have no excuse. In fact, to be honest with you, I am very upset when I go to church and a preacher is preaching and he don't know nothing.
Amen.
There's no excuse for that. Now we even have artificial intelligence. If you get on your phone, you can get any type of app for AI, artificial intelligence. You type in, what does the Bible say about a new husband? What does the Bible say about my wife, mean and hateful? AI will tell you everything. Yeah, your wife is mean, hateful. It is just what the Bible says. And all you need to do is just read it. So, first step, locate what the word says concerning your situation. Why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is his commitment to you. The book of Psalms 138, verse number 2 says, he esteems his word higher than his name. So God's word is so powerful. It is your roadmap for life. It is your GPS. The Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You cannot even walk without seeing the road you're walking. The word of God is what guides you, is the blueprint. No contractor will build a new building without a blueprint. The word of God is critical. So, first step is to ask yourself, what did the word say about this situation? Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 25, heaven and earth will pass away. But when it comes to what God said, the word of God, that will stand forever. So locate what the word said concerning your situation. You say, Pastor, I'm looking for a job. Good. Google it. If you don't know how to use Google, call the pastor. Say, Brother Pastor, no, I don't want to hear the latest news. Tell me, what does the Bible say concerning this situation? If you don't want to talk to me, because sometimes I get very blunt and direct, we got so many pastors in this church. Call any of them. They said they're called by God. You're going to find out quick. Amen. Let them sweat. You need to find out what the Bible says concerning your situation. The book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, grass will wither and flowers will fade, but the word of God, that will stand forever. That's why you need to look at what God says concerning your situation. Look at somebody and say, I got it. Step number two, you need to receive what the word said. You know, somebody can come to your house and bring a package, but you don't have to take it. You can say, no, wrong address. No, I'm not taking this. It is critical that you receive the word of God. That means you have to believe what God is saying. The Bible said Jesus could not do mighty work in a neighborhood because of their unbelief. Many people come to church, they hear the preacher preach, they hear the choir sing, but they never believe. So you cannot possess your healing until you believe what God said. Are you still here? And you have to get to the point that you believe what God said regardless of the symptoms. Many will say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to believe, but my back is still hurting. Or my leg is still wobbling. Or I can't see with this eye. You have to get to the point that you believe God's word regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your condition, regardless of your situation, regardless of the symptoms. Amen. How do you get there? Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, you have to learn to call those things that be not as though they are. In other words, even though your eyesight is still blurry, you have to believe that God will give you a perfect eye. You have to see yourself with a perfect vision long before it arrives. Ignore the symptoms. Abraham was a good example of what I'm talking about. You all know his story. Abraham is old. Abraham have no children. His wife is also old, 90 years, and barren. And Abraham was 100 years old, no sugar in the tank. Abraham cannot function at the junction.
You got it, John. You got it.
Do I need to break it down further? But the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Abraham hoped against hope. In other words, he did not allow his condition to color his thinking. He ignored the symptoms. I just told you the symptoms. You told me you already got it. Because I was going to tell you a whole lot more. But that man hoped against hope. It means he chose to believe what God said and not the symptoms. It means, ladies and gentlemen, your role is to locate what God said, and you need to believe what God said. Receive it. Amen. You got to do your part. The Bible gives an example of a man in the book of St. John, chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. This gentleman, the Bible says, he was in the midst of a bunch of impotent folks. They were all gathered by the pool. You got to watch the company you keep. If you hang around crackhead long enough, you'll become a crackhead. The Bible said God in his grace and mercy had already made provision for their healing. Once in a year, the angel of the Lord will come and trouble the water. Am I still in the book? And then once the angel troubled the water, that's God's part. It's done. Then every one of those impotent folks have their own role to play. You have to step in the water. Where my homeboy, he's been there 38 years. Guess what his problem is? He never get in the water. That's why I say you got to receive what God is offering you. Jesus asked him, hey, dude, what's your problem? Why are you still here 38 years? Well, listen to what he has to say. He said, nobody has helped me. That's the problem with many of you church folks. You're always waiting for handout. 38 years he was sitting there and watching other people take a personal responsibility. I've seen young people say, why are you struggling? Well, my mama didn't help me. Well, my daddy didn't help me. When are you going to help your own self? Amen. Amen. There is a part that you have to play for you to possess your own healing. Notice what Jesus did to him. He said, hey, dude, arise. Jesus didn't pull him up. He has to get up. Jesus said, pick up your mat. That which has been carrying you, there comes a time when you get up and carry it. Many people want to spend the whole year talking about who don't like them, who is a racist, you will be talking for the rest of your life. When everybody else is making progress. Jesus told him, get up, boo. Pick up your mat and start walking. That's his role. And when he did that, surprise, 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 he was instantly healed. You know my part, my message to you, you have a role to play. God will do his part. In fact, God has done his part. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, if you can just believe what God has done, then all things are possible to them that believe. Class, what is the first step? Locate the word. The professor in me, sometimes I think I'm in a class, you know. What is the second step? Receive the word. Then the third step, ladies and gentlemen, you got to stand on the word. In other words, whatever word you receive, the Bible said the devil come quickly to steal it. You got to bite like a hungry dog. You got to bite on that word and don't let it go. Don't let nobody talk you out. Stand on the word. In other words, you have to trust God. Everybody else will try to tell you you're crazy. You didn't hear God, or God didn't say it exactly like that. But you can read. You got a Bible. If you don't have one, Google it. Bite on the word of God. Stand on the word of God. I remember as a Baptist boy growing up in the church, we would sing the song, Standing on the Promises of Christ. My Lord, you got to stand on it. Storm may rise. Wind may blow. You got to make up your mind. God said it. It is settled. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3 says, the people who believe God, those are the ones who enter into his rest. As your pastor, I can tell those of you who have entered into God's rest. Just by you talking to me, I can see where you are with your faith in God. While some people are still freaking out, can't sleep at night, worrying over this, worrying over that, you got to know in your knowing God has already fixed it. Amen. Amen. That's what happened to Abraham. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 20, even though he doesn't have any child, even though he's getting old, the Bible said he did not stagger concerning the promise of God. God told him many years ago, you will have a baby. And everything around him is showing otherwise. But the Bible said he did not stagger through unbelief. But he was strong in faith. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. The songwriter said, he may not even come when you want him. But you need to know in your knowing, God is an on-time God. I feel like shouting already. You better call the police. Because I begin to. You just know in your knowing that God will do what he said. The book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19 say, he is not a man that he should lie. He is not the son of man that he will make up story. Had he said something, he will do it. When God made you a promise, he will make it good. One songwriter put it this way, I can depend on God. Through the storm, through the rain, through sickness, through pain, you and me, we can depend on God. You don't have to second guess him. The Bible said concerning Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, he became fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. About what? That God is able to do just what he said. I can shout on that all day. You just know in your knowing that your God is able. Every now and then, people will give me a million reasons why it will not happen. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough support. You don't have this. You don't have that. You don't have the resources. But when you know with God, the Bible says, not some things, all things are possible. So it's your move. The question is, when are you going to believe God? Another thing you need to do, the next step, you need to start confessing what you believe. Amen. Why is that important? Because this flesh is corrupt. Your flesh, your mind will begin to tell you why what you're believing will not come to pass. So you have to make a daily confession. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Confession, your confession is not just reminding all the spirit around you, but it's reminding your own self. Amen. How do you make confession? You go around, even in the midst of your pain, you say, I am healed. Headache will tell you we are hurting. You tell headache, I am healed. Backache will tell you, oh, we don't feel like going to work today. You say, son, we're going. By his stripe, I'm healed. Can I be brutally honest with you? Sometimes, even coming to church, my body will say, no, not today. And I will send a message back to my body. We are healed. Not only are we going to church, we're going to shout. All of a sudden, they say, man, this Negro is not, he's not going back, so we might as well get with the program. My body, they'll be talking to each other. The leg will talk to the hand. Did you get the message? He going to church. And then the feet will say, yeah, not only do I got the message, he also said he's going to shout today. So, make sure you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Another thing that you can do is to build your faith through your confession. So if you go to the doctor's office, they've been doing some testing and they say, okay, sorry, you got cancer. What you gonna do? Well, some people got emotion. Is that gonna heal cancer? No. In fact, all the demons will rejoice. We finally got him where we want him. Don't let your emotion take the best of you. Calm down. Listen to the doctor, the nurses, whatever. Sometimes they'll come around. I've been there. We're so sorry, dog. Dr. Darrell, we got this bad news. And I listen to them. And don't leave the doctor's office and then you go to the graveyard and you say, Elizabeth, this is a big one. I'm coming. Come on now. Stop tripping. The Bible say, whose report you going to believe? The doctors are doing their job. They told you their report. But God also told you his report. Now you got to decide whose report you're going to believe. I don't know about you. As for me and my house, we're going to believe the report of the Lord. His report says we are blessed. His report says by his stripes we're healed. His report says 1,000 may fall, 10,000 by my right. He said, but he got our back. His report says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord will deliver us. What you going to do? I have nothing against doctors. I have nothing against nurses. One of my children is a nurse. One of them is a doctor. She's here in the church. I see my brother in the Lord, Dr. Weatherspoon. Good people. One of the biggest support we have in this church is Dr. Weatherspoon. I love the doctors. If I have more children, I make sure I send them to medical school. And I thank God for their work. But at the end of the day, God is my healer. Hello, somebody. God is my healer. God is my source. I work for an employer, but he's not my source. Yes, I said it. I go around with confidence because I know I can look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help don't come from any man. My help don't come from any woman. My help comes from the Lord. Tell somebody I'm healed. Another thing you can do if you notice that the devil is messing with your mind about the diagnosis and prognosis, M-O-R, R-O-M, ra-ra-ra, with all this. Man, this report just make your hair run. One way you can deal with that enemy is to shift your focus from your situation. Begin to help somebody else. Volunteer to be a blessing to somebody. And heaven will credit that to your account. Hallelujah. Find somebody that needs his help. Make yourself available. You'll be amazed while you are helping others. Heaven will be helping you. Amen. And keep up with your praise. Keep up with your worship. There's something we call hallelujah anyhow. Don't wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. Even in the midst of your storm, you can shout. Even in the midst of your trial, you can shout. Because you know in your knowing, when all is said and done, God will give you victory. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you possess. You know something else you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to make sure that you don't neglect your prayer life. Amen. Just like I say, shift focus from yourself. It is when you lose focus or you focus on your sickness and your trouble, then you go down. If you don't believe me, remember what happens to Peter? Believe it or not, Peter was just a human being, but he walked on water. He asked God, can I do this? God said, sure, come on down. And Peter found himself walking on water. I can just imagine, say, man, this is pretty cool. Look at me. And then Peter began to tap dance. You know? But all of a sudden, he saw the winds and the waves. He said, oh, Lord. He's focused. Got off. He got scared. When you focus on the symptoms, guess what will happen? You're going down. Put your focus on God. Put your focus on his promises. Focus on what God said about it. And believe God, not your symptoms. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible said he did not focus on the fact that her body is dripping with blood. The Bible said she talked to herself. When was the last time you talked to yourself? She was suffering from hemorrhage so much that this has been going on for 12 years. She's been to the doctors. She's maxed out all of her insurance policy. The Bible says she spent everything she got. Yet, the blood began to flow. Still flowing. But one day, she spoke to herself. He said, girl, I'm not going to worry about what anybody say. I'm not going to worry about all the rules that say I cannot come out in the public. If I can just get close and touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. And you know what the end of the story is. She sure did. She pressed her way. She pressed her way. I'm telling you, you have a part to play. How bad do you want it? Stop watching all the bad reports in the news. What somebody says, social media will not heal you. The word of God will heal you. If you take it, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law, don't let it depart from your mouth. That's your confession. Meditate upon it day and night. You squeeze the juice out of it. You see, be careful to do what it says. Then you shall make your way prosper. You shall have good success. So it's your move. It's my move. God has already done his part. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Mr. Jairus was another example. When he invited Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter, she believed Jesus, but on their way home, report came from home and say, too late, your daughter is dead. I'm telling you, there's always some player haters that will try to talk you out of your miracle, that will try to convince you it's too late now. It's too late for you to find a husband. It's too late for you to get a job. It's too late for you to do that or to do that. And you have to make up your mind. God said it. I believe it. It is settled. Jesus told Mr. Jairus, don't listen to none of those knuckleheads. Only believe. And sure enough, you know how the story ends. Jesus got to his house, and Jesus talked to that dead daughter, Tabitha, get up. And sure enough, that young daughter came back to life. Not just for your physical healing. What if you are running low in cash? God is my witness. I hope I don't get in trouble with my wife. My home, they say it's going to cost me $400,000. I don't have no $400,000. If I sell everybody my house, they don't worth
$400,000. Wow!
But guess what I told him? I said, show me where do I need to sign. My wife said, are you crazy? No, I believe God. We moved in 2005. We've never missed payment. The Lord will make a way somehow. You just have to believe God. Philippians 4:19 say, my God, your God shall supply all of your needs, all of my needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you still here? Let me tell you one or two more things. Another thing you need to learn to do is to take communion. I'm not saying you make religion out of it. See, religion say we're going to take communion once a month. But the devil don't wait once a month to mess with you. There ain't nothing wrong what church is doing. But on your own, you have to take communion like you take your medicine. I got some doctors here. If you take your medicine once a month, you're going to die. Don't take communion once a month. When the devil is messing with your children, when the devil is messing with your job, when the devil is messing with your health, you cannot afford to wait until the end of the month. Begin to take communion in your own home. The preacher don't need to be there. There's no scripture that say the preacher must serve you the communion. Gather your friends, gather your family, tell the children, we are going to take communion. Now you are them finished eating boudin. Now we're going to take communion. Mama, I don't want, you better sit down before I knock the devil out of you. You will take this communion. Why? Because this is medicine. This ain't no religion, this is medicine. The doctor, they prescribe, I get in trouble with them all the time, but that's all right. Truth sets people free. They told me there's something, Brother Jackson, they call it Entresto. It's a pill. They told me my heart is weak. They say you need they say you need this to boost the muscle or something like that. So then I said, how often do I have to take this? He said, fool, you got to take it every day. I said, doc, you got to be kidding. No, we need to strengthen that muscle. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, where you take your medicine faithfully. By the way, if I don't, you see, my daughter, who's a doctor, she gets on my nerve. You got to do this. Is your doctor too? You understand what I'm saying? But you know, so I take just to stay out of trouble, you know. But the Lord said to me, as faithful as you are to taking the medication prescribed by your doctor, where Jesus is a doctor. Hello, somebody. He said, I don't ask you not to take your medication, but take my own medication too. So I don't wait until I get to your church. You say, Pastor, I don't have all this fancy plate. I don't have nice table. You don't need none of that. Well, I don't have all the crackers and juice. Forget all of that. That's religion. If my brain snaps one day, I might throw it all out and get you real loaves of bread from Walmart. Just find something in your house. It's the spirit behind it. He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. What are you remembering? You remember, you tell your children, we are taking this because we remember he was wounded for our transgression. We remember he was bruised for our iniquity. We remember that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Children, we are taking this because we remember by his stripes we are healed. Tell your children, let's pray. And remind them the blood that Jesus shed thousands of years ago, it has never lost its power. I am telling you, even my own doctor noticed my heart is stronger now. And then, you know, bless your heart, don't tell the doctors I told you. They said, Mr. Dara, yes, sir. They said, what kind of exercise you've been doing? Your heart is strong. I'm so glad my wife is not there. Because she'll tell it all, you know. Oh, I say I've been doing a lot of exercise lately. What kind of exercise is called communion? Communion? Yes, sir. Tell me about it. Do you push up or you run? I say, you don't have to do any of that. You know what I'm trying to tell you? There is power in the blood of Jesus. Are you still here? One more thing, I know you're ready to go. See, I'm a college professor. When it's time to go, students, they get agitated. I can see some of you say, man, that brother is too much for me. So let me tell you one more thing, so you all can come back to class next time. Another thing you need to learn to do is to trust the process. What did I say you have to do? Many people give up too quickly. Many people want God to heal them their own way. But God may choose the way he wants to heal you. You have to trust the process. When you get home, I don't have enough time to deal with it. But when you get home, read the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. You'll find the story beginning from verse 1 of a gentleman by the name Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian army officer. Very successful. Won many wars. Has a lot of medal on his chest. But he has one problem. He's a leper. I wish I have time to teach you about leprosy. But I'll deal with that some other day. The Bible is full of examples. One lady, Miriam, messed with Moses for marrying a black woman. She turned into a leper. One king came to church and start to do the work of a pastor. God strike him. He turned into leper. That's a whole sermon by itself. So this army general, very successful by world standard, but he was a leper. But one day, a little maid, one of the people that he conquered, that is now serving as a slave in his house. That little girl said to him, sir, in my country,